Yeah, just I always forget what the passage is, and then I'm sort of
good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way into this worshiping community. You can learn more about the ways that we are church together. In your bulletin, there are plenty of announcements and also a calendar of the worship fellowship mission and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship. So there are quite a few announcements. I've got some, and I'm going to get started through those, and then I'll call a few folks up. First, next Sunday is our first Fusion Sunday of the program year, and that is a time where all ages will be worshiping together. And I highlight this one in particular because we are going to be exploring the sacraments next Sunday. I know a lot of our young people and also folks who are new to the Presbyterian Church have been asking, what do the sacraments mean? So be here next Sunday and learn more about that. And also, a word about the letter that you received in your mail yesterday or the day before. Many folks have heard now that Carol Ann Strawbridge, our associate pastor, will be retiring in June. And we ask that you join in celebrating Carol Ann's mission and ministry, this new chapter in her life. But in the meantime, that's not till June. We'll keep her working until then, so don't worry. But we join in celebrating Carol Ann. All right. And if you haven't noticed, outside of the sanctuary, there is a big sheet. And on the top, it says, Dreaming with God. There are Sharpies there, and I invite everyone of all ages to write, what are you dreaming about with God for the future of GPC? So write it up there. We would love to see your comments and thoughts. Al has an announcement. The one you've been waiting for, it's coming.
I'm up here doing double duty again. First of all, to thank everyone for donating food for St. Joseph's. We served a meal there yesterday. We had 60 people that had the best goulash in Rochester and thanked us for it. And we had 7 church members that also ate some great goulash and were very happy. So thank you all that made it possible in food preparation and donation. The second reason I'm up here is because this coming Saturday is going to be the ham dinner. And the part of the ham dinner that makes people who help coordinate it go crazy is this week. Because we're running down to the end and the sign-up sheets aren't full. The thing that I'm personally most concerned about is having enough people to fill all the slots. Food we can go out and buy, we can get along if we don't get enough donations, but people to help out only makes the burden switch to the people that do show up to cover all the spots for the people that don't show up. So, quick rundown. We need ticket sellers, we need table servers, probably 6 or 8 table servers for each of the shifts that are left. We need food preparation people for peeling squash Wednesday night and peeling potatoes Saturday morning. We need kitchen servers to help serve the food during the dinner. We need kitchen cleanup people, which there's none of right now. And we need, at the bottom I wrote down, we only have about 40 or 50 pounds out of 200 pounds of potatoes donated. So if you know a good source of some potatoes, there's an opportunity. So thank you all in ahead for your attention, and if you can donate your time, I'd appreciate it, and then everybody involved with a church dinner would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Al. Carol Ann.
Well, there is still lots of fun still to have. So that starts today. And I want to remind the youth that there's the haunted house, not haunted hayride tonight to be here at 6 and to plan not to, we'll come back to Gates, but we won't be back till 8:45. And also young adults, I will encourage you to come next week to work on the Habitat House. Thanks.
I would like to speak to the women of the church. We have an opportunity on Thursday evening to join with other Presbyterian women in our presbytery for a dinner and a program. This will be held at the Chi Lai Presbyterian Church. Dinner is being catered by D&R Depot, and if you've had any of our dinners, you know they're wonderful. We also will have a speaker, Rita Hooper. Every 3 years, Presbyterian women travel to within the United States to connect concerns raised by past global exchanges with similar issues in the United States. Quite often, I've heard people ask, why do we do everything for people overseas and we do nothing for people here in the United States? Well, if you listen to Rita Hooper, you will find out that we do a lot here in the United States. Her trip was to Appalachia. She connected with a lot of different programs that help the people of Appalachia in many different ways, whether it's health, food, education, clothing, just many, many ways. And she's quite an interesting person, and I think you will enjoy this experience. So see me after church. Sign up on the kiosk. We need to know by tomorrow how many are coming so we can order the dinner. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. It is my pleasure also this morning to introduce our guest preacher, the Reverend Richard Witt. He will also be sharing with us in a second hour following worship more about rural and migrant ministry. In particular, we're going to be talking about Jamaican farm workers. So a love and passion and relationship we have in this congregation. We'll be learning about that in a little bit different way. Before we get started, Richard's just going to share for a moment a little bit about rural and migrant ministry. Richard, welcome.
Good morning. Happy day. Happy day. So, thank you for welcoming me. Thank you for providing such a great space to come and be with. This is very exciting for me. Rural and Migrant Ministry was created by the Presbyterian Church, along with four other denominations, back in 1981, to be with people who are isolated because of either being rural or migrant or both. And we do a whole bunch of wonderful different things, but it really comes down to sort of three main areas. One we call accompaniment, accompanying rural workers as they seek to improve working and living conditions. Two is education. And that is helping people, both workers and those who want to be their allies, develop their leadership skills. And three is youth empowerment, working with children and teenagers to help them create opportunities. And perhaps what captures all of that occurred many years ago when I first started at the ministry. We have an overnight camp. And one of the kids, a young man named Jose, came up to me and he said, you know, this 1 week overnight camp is home for me. And I said, oh, that's nice. He said, no, you don't get it. He said, everywhere I go, you know, we come from Texas and we migrate up to New York to help pick onions in the summertime here in New York. Everywhere I go, people make it clear to me I don't belong. The school, the police, the boss, the other kids in the neighborhood, They make it clear that I don't belong. This camp is the one place where people make it clear to me I do belong. And so this is my home. And that is Rural and Migrant Ministry's ultimate goal, is to help people feel at home. Thank you.
And now let us worship God together. Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. Open our eyes that we may see the deepest needs of people. Open our hands
that we may feed the hungry.
Open our hearts
that we may bring warmth to the despairing.
Open all that we are that we may worship and serve God together.
Sorry. Thought I was already retired. When we worship God and confess our sins to God, we can be assured that God forgives us over and over again. Please join me in the litany prayer of confession. In a world that encourages us to consume all that we can, we hide behind what keeps us busy and overlook the ways in which our thoughts, words, and actions impact the least of these in this world. In the lives of neighbors who suffer brokenness and pain, in the struggle of the poor whose rights are not honored, in a world crying out for wisdom, love, and mercy, in a world calling for the blessing of truth, we confess we allow the powers of this world to seduce us into selfishness and silence our witness. Teach us to champion the cause for justice for all. Strengthen us to love our neighbor and speak truth no matter the penalty. Amen. Well, God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. The Word of God assures us that we are able to love through the Spirit of Christ. Let us go from this place with authority, knowing that God's Word gives us strength to love our neighbors, near and far, and power to speak up for those who are broken. Thanks to the Word of God.
At this time, we invite all the children forward. Friends, I could hear quite a few voices this morning. You guys were excited to be here, aren't you? Yes, I'm so glad. And I am also really glad this morning because I have a friend to introduce to you. Would you like to meet my friend? This is my friend Richard. Say hi, Richard.
Hi, guys.
And Richard's going to share a story with us this morning.
And I have to stand up because it involves some movement. Okay. So, once upon a time in a village far, far away, there was a very wise man who spent all his time helping people out. And for years after years, people would come to him for wisdom. And he lived in a small, simple little house at the end of the village. Well, one day the announcement came out that the prince was going to get married. And there was going to be a huge celebration. And everybody was going to be invited to the wedding. And there was going to be lots of food and lots of music. And everybody was to get dressed up and come to this wedding. So the day came and everybody climbed up the hill because the prince lived way up on top of the hill overlooking the village. And at the gate to the prince's castle were guards. And the guards welcomed everybody. Come on in. Because people didn't know the way because they had never really been to the castle of the prince before. And the guards pointed out to where the big banquet hall was. Well, the wise man came up the hill, and he came up very slowly because he was very old. And he finally made it up to the gate, and he greeted the guardsmen, and they looked at him and they said, "Whoa, wait a second, hold on, hold on, whoa, 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 whoa." And the old man said, "What?" He said, "Look at the way you're dressed." And he looked down and he said, "I'm wearing what I always wear." And they said, "No, no, 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 no. This is the big celebration, the big wedding. You need to get dressed up. You need to look fancy." And the old man said, "I don't have any fancy clothes." And they said, "Well, then you can't come to the wedding." He said, "Well, okay." So he went back down the hill, went back to his house, and he pulled out all these little bits of things that he had. He had a little bit of gold cloth here and a little bit of silver cloth there. And he pulled out his old sewing machine and he went and he made this really fancy looking outfit. And he put it on and he went back up the hill, which took quite a long time. And he made it to the gate and the guards looked at him and said, "Ah, now that's much better. You look fine. Welcome. Come on in." So he went in, and he went into the big banquet hall, and everybody was already seated, and they were eating. And he sat down, and everybody said, "Oh, we're so glad you're here. You look wonderful. You look great," because they had heard what had happened. And he sat down, and he said, "Could you pass me the mashed potatoes?" And they passed him the mashed potatoes, and he took a big spoon of mashed potatoes, and he opened up his shirt, and he put the mashed potatoes down his shirt. And everybody looked at him and went, "That's a little weird." But because he was so wise and respected, they didn't say anything. And then he said, "Could you pass me the roast beef?" And they passed him the roast beef, and he took the roast beef, and he lifted up his sleeve, and he had big sleeves like this, and he put the roast beef in his sleeve. And everybody started immediately talking and murmuring, and everybody's getting all worked up. And he said, "Could you pass me the gravy?" And they went, "Oh, no! You're not getting the gravy." And finally, the prince came over and he said, "I don't understand what's going on with your behavior here. Why are you doing this?" And he said, "Well, when I came originally to the wedding, I wasn't welcome. But when I put on these fancy clothes, I was welcome. So clearly it's the clothes that were invited, and I'm feeding the clothes." And with that, the prince took the gravy and the prince poured it all over himself. And everybody else immediately took food, and there immediately was a huge food fight. And everybody to this day remembers that wedding and the wisdom of the wise man and the importance of honoring people for who they are and not necessarily what they wear. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, friends. It's a good thing we're not having mashed potatoes and gravy in Sunday school today. Can we say a short prayer together and then you can head off to Sunday school? Say, "Dear God, thank you, for making us. Help us, to welcome, all your children. Amen. Have fun in Sunday school.
Thank you.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in God's temple.
For in the time of trouble, for in the time of trouble, He will hide me.
In the secret of the Holy One's tabernacle will the Lord hide me. The Lord will set me upon a rock.
And thou shalt my head be lifted up upon mine enemies round about me.
Therefore will I offer in the Holy One's tabernacle sacrifices of joy.
Let us turn to the Gospel of Matthew for wisdom. The 25th chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The reading from Matthew. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O God, our Redeemer and Advocate. Amen. So again, it's just so cool to be here in the midst of you all. I travel all across New York State, and I get to visit a lot of congregations, and you have a reputation for being such a lively and passionate for the gospel congregation, and now I get to be in the midst of it and be with your wonderful pastors. And that, as we had an intern a number of years ago, actually the daughter of a Presbyterian executive, who used to always say, "Cool beans." So, cool beans for being here. Our passage today comes from Matthew, and I'll just read a snippet of it again. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Now, I don't know what a glorious throne is or what it looks like, but I think it's good. I think it's something that's good to be a part of. And frankly, I yearn to be a part of that glorious throne, because there's something about it that says to me that it is a moment of joy. It is a moment of inspiration. It is a moment of peace. And I spend a lot of my life searching for that kind of moment. I spend a lot of my time searching for people who bear witness to that kind of moment. Somebody said to me years ago, "If you want to be holy, hang around with holy people." So I'm constantly searching. And one of the things that I've learned
is that when we gather around that table, when we gather around God's table with the hope, the desire to be a part of the glorious throne, that throne becomes all the more giving and empowering when there is a diversity of people around that throne. I don't know if you've experienced this in life, but there are many a moment in my life when I realize I don't have all the answers. And in fact, there are quite a few moments when I'm clueless. And I stand in awe of people who seem to not be clueless, especially in moments when it involves things like fixing something in my house. Somehow, and this was not intentional, I had the intelligence to marry my wife, who knows how to fix the broken toilet and takes great joy in fixing the refrigerator, what have you. I'm really thankful that I get to hang around with my wife. As we look around the world, there are people who have experiences different than us, that have interests different than us. And in order to see God's presence, in order to witness the holy, they bring aspects, they bring tools, they bring experiences to help us see God, because we don't have everything in our toolkit, if you will. Now, I raise all of that because the reality is that there are people missing from our table. There are people who have different experiences that we somehow either have failed to invite to our table, or we've chosen not to invite to our table. And one of those, and this is a great irony, one of those groups of folks are farm workers. The irony in that is that more often than not, farm workers have been responsible for providing the food on the table, but then we don't invite them to the table. Now, What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that at two different levels. One is that we don't invite farm workers to the table because we just don't see them. We're not in relationship with them. They live, right? It's a pain to sort of find them or get to them. And even if we did find them, we wouldn't know what to say to them or how to connect with them. Do you know that there are close to 100,000 farm workers in New York State? Coming from Mexico and Central America, coming from Jamaica and Haiti, coming from Texas and Florida. Some just here for a little bit of time, some all year long, working in dairy farms or poultry farms. But we don't see them. When I first got involved in rural and migrant ministry, they were housed in the church office of the church that I served over in the Hudson Valley. And I had just arrived from Boston to this church, and I was there on a Sunday morning, and I heard some folks in church saying, "Did you see them at the Grand Union?" And the second person replied, "Yep. It's that time of year when you can't go to the Grand Union on Friday nights because they're there." And they were talking about the farm workers. That feeling of, or that loss, that tragedy of saying those people need to be avoided means that we're saying those people shouldn't be at our table. Now, the second level of exclusion, if you will, is actually more of a systemic exclusion. New York State excludes farm workers from many of the basic rights afforded the rest of us. It's actually in our law that farm workers don't have some of the same rights. It says in New York state law, all workers shall be entitled to a day of rest, except farm workers. All workers shall be entitled to disability insurance, except farm workers. It goes on and on. So we have said within our hearts and our actions, you're not welcome at our table, but we've also made it systemically impossible to be welcome at our table. Now, I want to be clear at this point that what I am saying, and I hope it's coming through loud and clear, is we are all at the table and we need to make sure, because God asks us to make sure, that we all be at the table. It's not about saying, all right, we bring these people to the table, but we need to send you from the table. So, for those of you that are related to farmers or who are farmers, and all my in-laws are farmers, it's not about God saying the farm workers are important and the farmers need to be kicked out. It's about saying everybody needs to be at the table. And our challenge as people of faith is to figure out how we get people to the table. A number of years ago, we had a group of folks come from several different congregations to spend a day with Rural and Migrant Ministry. And they were from Westchester County. And they traveled to Orange County. So they went across the Hudson River. And it was about an hour drive to get to the onion fields of Orange County. And at that point, they spent the day and we did Bible study together. We shared a meal together. We visited the farm workers' homes. And we did fellowship. And at the end of the day, one of the women said to the workers, "What can we do to help?" And the worker, who was 15 years old, full-time farm worker. Who's, anybody 15 here? Anybody 14? Okay. So 14, ninth grade? Fifth, all right. So think of the 10th graders you know. Full-time young man, full-time farm worker, says to the gathering of folk, says, what we need is we need you to add your voice to our voice so that it can be heard to change the laws that are affecting us, that are denying us equality. And one of the other church women said, okay, but it's getting close to Thanksgiving. Could you use some turkeys? And the young man paused for a moment. He said, that would be nice, but what we really need is for you to stand with us to change the laws. And at that point, farm workers, it was not required that there be drinking water in the fields. And so one of the women said, okay, let me see what I can do. It turned out that her senator was in charge of the committee that oversaw these things. So she went back to Westchester, and she described herself, and you never really hear this, right? She described herself as meek. Like that's one of those words that you only, you know, sort of see in the Bible. But, you know, she described herself as meek. So she decided that she was going to go and speak to her senator. But she didn't quite know how to do that. So she saw that he was having a meeting on school taxes. So she goes to this public meeting, and she raises her hand and says, Senator, about the farm workers. And he said, this is a meeting about school taxes. What's this about farm workers? And she said, do you have any meetings scheduled about farm workers? And he said, no. Well, then, Senator, about the farm workers. And he said, I'll talk to you after the meeting. So after the meeting, he gets up to go. She gets up, name's Martha, and she follows him. And the senator says, look, I'm late to get my son to soccer practice. And she said, I'll talk to you as you walk to your car. So she gave him an earful all the way to his car. The next week, there was another meeting about property issues. And there was Martha again, senator, about the farm workers. Every time the senator had a meeting, there was Martha, senator, about the farm workers. Finally, after months upon months, the senator brought a bill to the floor that required drinking water in the fields. And he was overheard to say at the Capitol, "I am sick and tired of these church ladies harassing me." And all I could think of was the old Saturday Night Live church lady going, "Isn't that special?" We went up to Martha a few weeks after all that to thank Martha. And Martha said, No. You don't need to be thanking me. I need to be thanking you." And everybody went, "Huh?" And she said, "I have always wanted deep in my heart to participate in God's kingdom. I've always lacked the courage to speak forth. You all have inspired me," she said as she looked at the farm workers, "with courage because of your courage. You have given me the gift of courage so that I can be more faithful." I think that Jesus calls us to the table and asks us to reach out. No matter how hard it is, no matter how far it is, no matter how scary it is, asks us to reach out and invite those who are different, those who hunger, those who thirst, those who are in prison, those who lack clothing. Invite them to join us, not because it's the right thing to do, not because it will make us feel better, but because Jesus knows that they have a part of the key to the glorious throne. That they have those missing pieces that we need in order to be more faithful. That is the opportunity. That is the call. That is what we, as people of faith, have the opportunity to grab a hold of. That is the gift. Amen.
This time I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern. The ushers will have microphones. If you'd like to share a prayer aloud, please raise your hand so they can see you.
Prayers of joy. Our son Corey Fennell and Katie Percola were married last weekend in Boston, and it was just a glorious day and glorious event. And as the preacher, Corey's a neurologist and Katie's a brain surgeon, he said, these two brains have a lot of compassion in their hearts and they're in it for the right reason. And it was just, it was wonderful. So, and I, just thank you for helping raise our son, Corey. You know, all those mission trips and things are still going on. So we just wish them a wonderful honeymoon. They're in Thailand and we'll be in Cambodia in the next week or so. So prayers for a safe journey.
Thanks be to God.
I have a joy to share. A few months ago, I asked for prayers for a woman named Barbara Boyd, who was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer at 80 years of age. She's finished her first courses of chemotherapy, and the cancer has stopped growing. So I'm very grateful and thankful for that. They're going to continue and see if they can get it to shrink now.
Thank prayers you. Of thanksgiving.
Good morning. I'd like prayers for my friend Eileen, who's here from Texas. Her dad died on Thursday after a very short battle with cancer. He didn't even have a chance to even have any of the treatment. So prayers for her and her family. Thank
prayers
you.
Prayers for your friend, Barb. You have prayers from our children this morning? Oh. Logistical challenge easily solved.
Prayers for my mom that she have a safe business trip this week.
Say it. You have to say that one.
I don't want
to. I know you don't, but you have to say it.
Prayers for snow. You're mean.
I know. It was probably one of mine.
Probably was. Prayers that my dad and brother come home safely from a camping trip today. And prayers of thanksgiving for my cousin who's having a baby and for my grandma who's going to now be a great-grandma. And prayers of thanksgiving because my uncle has a new stepdaughter, so I have new cousins. And prayers of thanksgiving because I'm going to the Y with friends today.
Amen. Let us continue our time of prayer. Holy God, we often wonder when we see you. You show us the kingdom, a realm where the hungry are fed, the thirsty are given something to drink, and the homeless are housed. You offer us a realm where those who are shivering are clothed, the sick are visited, and those in prison hear the good news. We wonder how we are to receive such a gift. Will you require of us more than what we are already doing? Will you judge us for what we have done and what we have left undone? Will you leave us out of your community of salvation? God, in your great love and mercy, move us beyond fear and move us beyond guilt. Move us beyond the anxious worry that hangs heavy in our hearts. Move us deeper into your surprising grace. Heal us when we do not see you in your people, that we would rather not see and turn away from this table altogether. God, help us to know you in the faces of all your children. Strengthen us to extend your welcome and show your love, that faithful in word and in deed, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Let us continue our time of worship in joyful celebration of all the many blessings God has given to us by offering these blessings back to God in thanksgiving.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks for calling all of us to the table. And we ask now for you to give us courage to receive these offerings in ways in which can make a difference in people's lives. Open our eyes to the places of need. Help us to reach out and touch those places. Amen.
Hymn, we will be singing verses 1 and 4. 1 and 4. Let us praise God.
Thank you.
If you are here to help me, then move along. If you are here because your liberation is bound with mine, then stay and let's get to work. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may you be held in the palm of God's hand. Amen.